deep in the heart of the Welsh valleys, a young man had a deceptively young and unfathomably handsome man had decided that it was his destiny to become the greatest dog agility handler the world had ever seen. So he set about learning his craft. His front crosses were crisper than a dry December morning in the Brecon Mountains. His ketchkas were slicker than a boiled pigeon in a rubber tube sock. The intensity, accuracy and speed and natural flamboyance he brought far surpassed anything the sport had ever seen and would ever likely see again. The time was approaching where he would be ready to shine on the world stage and begin his legacy. But he realized, to win any battle, you must first know your enemy. Okay, hello everyone. Welcome along for another episode of Know Your Enemy. And this week we have, I'm definitely going to say it wrong. Actually, I should have asked how to say it beforehand. Keena, I'm Carlin. How close was I?
Almost.
Okay, you want to say how to say it properly?
Keena, I'm Yellen.
Keena, I'm Yellen.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Okay, perfect. I'm not going to say it again because I'm on to a winning streak here. Okay, so we know your name, Keena. How would you describe yourself today to someone who maybe doesn't know you?
Is it dog people?
Yeah, dog people, outside of dog people.
Okay, then just really, really invested in agility.
Yeah?
Yeah. Basically, yeah, it's, I think that's my whole life right now. It's everything agility and I love it so much. I would say I'm also on a winning streak these days.
So, yeah, for sure. I mean, would you say that, are you a judge first or are you a competitor?
I would like to do both.
What's your favorite at the moment?
But I can't choose because it's so different and it's so important, both of them.
But you would say they are both on equal par rather than have one as a preference. Equally a competitor as much as a judge.
Really. I don't want to end up only judging and I don't want to only compete.
Yeah, that's fair enough, I suppose.
I think this weekend when I can do both, that's just peak. That is really the coolest weekends of all.
So how long have you been doing agility? And then also, how long have you been judging for? I can ask the same to both, really, because I'm sure it's not the same amount of time.
No, definitely very different. I think I'm quite new to judging, but I've been in agility all my life. So since I was 11, so 20 years now. And judging has been since, 2018, so 4 or 5 years. So that's quite recent compared to the judging part.
Yeah, for sure. Well, this year, I am a judge, but not to the level that you are. But, and tell me if I'm wrong is why I'm saying this. That seems like quite a short amount of time to then be given the international events that you've been given. Yeah. Yeah. So what do you think has been part of the reason maybe then that you've had such a fast track success in judging?
Yeah, I think that's probably more things. It's a little bit luck with timing. I think it's my education. We have a really, really strong judge education in Norway now at the moment. I think it is part of, I'm really, really invested in developing myself as a judge and courses. And I think for every time I judge, I learn something new and I can look at lines or at how the dogs are like perceiving the course and everything. And then I think I have like an insane amount of ideas, maybe too much sometimes. it happens. So I think like all the years in agility, it can like bring both some of the old stuff into agility, but also the new stuff and combine. There are so much different challenges you can bring to the table and so much different setups that's possible to set up.
Yeah.
And I think just I also really love to say yes.
Well, it seems like you say you've only really been judging for 4 years. Were there any judges that really helped you, or were there any that really influenced you the way you design?
I think several. When I started, of course, the main reason is in the judge education is Jan Egil. He did Jan Egil Eide, for those that don't know him. He is really killing us in the judge education in both the good and the bad ways. So he really pushes everything out of you in this, I think. And the judge education, it's almost 2 years long. It's one and a half. And also, I think so many of the judge colleagues, they are really eager to help you if you want to develop and you send courses. I don't think I've met a judge yet that don't want to give feedback and like help you improve the courses or have some comments. I must say, I really, during the education, everything, whenever I was stuck, I always looked at Petter Pupik's courses. I really love his style. He's a mathematics professor, and I think you can almost see it in his design.
Very technical. So you mentioned Peter Pupik there. Obviously, you've mentioned Jan. Are there any others that you? I mean, I'm sure that you take influence from lots, but are there any others that really stand out then, should I say?
I got a lot of help from Tomas Tvær in the education. You could always also send him courses, and he's super easy to talk to about it. So he will also give you his opinion. I think those were the ones that were kind of big. We're talking now five years ago. So they were like, for me at least, they were pushing it in the right direction. I think now there are also a lot of different names that are very exciting. And we had within this judge group, we were quite a big group, but within this judge group, we had also like a quite tight bonds helping each other. And I have another judge called Synnøve Matre. We really made this group to share all our courses during the education to get feedback and help to get through the education because it was really super hard. And I think this close to quitting, maybe all over halfway through. I just couldn't do it anymore.
Well, I think there's
But
lots of
then
people that are
you
happy to see that you did see it through because personally, you're one, I love to run your courses. The start of last year, actually, you did the EO simulator in Dog Sports Derby, didn't you? Yeah, and I remember I had my dog had his winter break, and we thought we would come up to have prep for the international like tryouts and all that, and I was absolutely useless. I ran your courses and I was so far off it. I thought, well, that's a real wake-up call for me. So it was good. It was good, but it didn't feel good at the time, kind of thing. So thank you for that. And then for your dog
welcome.
agility, for your dog agility career then, who were the biggest influences for you at the start of that?
So I think if we go back, we had Susan Garrett, we had Sylvia Turkman, and we had I remember back in the good old days. It's starting to be quite some time ago. No, and there was a time I remember Teresa and say they were just like everything.
That's a common
So that was
answer. Lots of
really super
people
cool.
mention Teresa.
It is really peak agility. It is.
So this year now, as you said at the beginning of the episode, you want to focus on not judging or competing, but you want to do both. So what are some goals for you for this coming season in both as a competitor and as a judge? Because obviously last year you came back from judging the EOs. Obviously, I'm sure you enjoyed that experience. You can tell us a little bit about that as well, how that went for you.
So what do you want first?
Yeah, sorry, I probably asked too many then, didn't I? Tell me about the EOs this year. How was the experience for you?
Yeah, I really loved it. It was super cool. I love this. You have this cooperation in advance. I was cooperating with Rory Schultz for the courses. So I already knew from Jan's experience at IVC that it, or AWC, that it's clever to cooperate. Yeah.
That's a political way to put
so
it.
so no, but I know really from far behind. He was one of those judges when I grew up that was always it was always super important for him that you were nice to your dogs, and I really respect that so much. So I really liked him a lot from before. So not a hard guy to cooperate
Do you feel like your courses
with.
ran as you intended as well? Were you happy with them?
Yeah. It's yeah. I was. I'm happy. It's of course it's hard with the extra large dogs when you have to obey to 7 meters. There is just I really tried my best to like find a way to make it, you know, the making the lines on the outskirts all the way, then you're allowed up to 9 on the dog's line. So then it's working. But you have to be clever and you have to check that the speed is not too high and that there's room for the dogs to change their so-called striding and to get the message from the handler and to see the new lines. So I think it's possible, just a little bit harder
So really testing your
to make
judges and your
it.
course design skills to the max then.
Yeah, I really felt that.
So will you be trying out as a competitor this year for any of those competitions?
Yes, for sure. I hope to qualify for a WOW. That I guess is the first one,
Yeah.
and also because I'm also judging well. So I think I have never been there before. So I need to, I need to invest a little bit of effort into
Yeah, when are your
that.
tryouts for your team?
So we don't have tryouts for the WOW, but we have tryouts for European Open and Nordic Championships and AWAC in May.
Okay.
So, yeah, so that's 1 weekend, make it or break it. So, if you do good, then you can qualify for everything. And if you do shit this weekend, then you're just out.
Yeah, that's tough.
So,
That's quite hard when it's over. Like,
yeah.
it's quite nice because like the pressure's high, so it kind of
Yeah.
mimics that
Yeah.
environment. But also, yeah, quite rough if you've got like an ill
Yeah.
dog or something. I mean, there's not much you can do
Yeah.
then, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I ripped my one of I ripped the tendon. What was it, 2 or 3 weeks before the tryouts last
Oh.
year? But it was fine. Really, it was fine. But it's really just like fuck. If this would happen just some days before, oh fuck. Or if the dog is injured or anything, like it can be like a tiny thing. But of course, if you're out, you're out. So
Yeah, there's not
yeah,
much you can do,
it's
is
the name of
there?
the game.
Yeah,
No,
so
no. There
success for
isn't.
you then. What would be success for you this season coming up?
I would really love to perform some really badass agility on some top level competitions. That would be cool to like really show off what we can do on the big stages. I would love that. And then I would love to make some really badass courses for
What
for the competitors. I really love
what
to
big
see that as well.
competitions are you down to judge for this year? Are you allowed to say?
So I should check my cat. Yeah, I think so.
Okay, it's not
I
a
don't
secret.
know.
I'm not
Is
trying
it
to
a
get
secret?
secrets out of you.
No, no. So I'm coming to you guys quite soon, actually. I'm coming to UK in the start of January.
Yeah.
So I think that's the first thing that's happening. And then we have Polish Open in February.
Okay.
So I like that. That will be super exciting. I like they have already asked us that we shouldn't hold back on the course design.
Nice, nice.
I think I still will hold a little bit back because I don't want to kill them all. I want to have some cleans through, but yeah, I will definitely let loose a little bit for that one. We have some tryouts. That's always fun during the spring. And then yeah, we have some. different competitions. I have some. I'm not sure. No, let's skip that one.
So you're still having a
Which
fair bit
one
of
to take?
traveling
We have,
again then this
of
year?
course. Yeah, and we have the Border Collie Classics. That I think will be Prague Agility Party, then Border Collie Classics this summer. I
So
think
cool.
that
You've
will also be
got some good ones
super
planned for
cool.
you to do then, that's for sure.
Yeah.
With regards to judging specifically then, this is something that I personally like again, and I'm nowhere near the level of judging appointments that you're getting. But one of the things that I really struggle with judging is staying concentrated for a full day. So is there anything that you can
Yeah.
like give as a tip for other judges for that, or is it just a case of you just manage it?
I think I do several things. For me, judging, this is why I said that judging and competing for me, it's like two totally different things. Because somehow when I judge, I really, really relax and I really enjoy it. I can't do anything else. I have a little bit of like an ADHD brain, so I'm a little bit everywhere, doing everything in my head all the time. So when I'm judging, that is the only thing that I'm doing. So I really love that bubble that you're in.
Yeah.
And I've also made like judging rules for myself while I judge, so that because in the start I could, someone is disqualifying in the start of the run, and then you. It's a really interesting run, so you keep paying attention, and then they get a bar in the end, and I'm like, oh, it's
They're already eat,
gold.
yeah.
No way. Yeah.
What
Yeah.
about when you are competing then? How do you have any nerves when you compete, or do you not get nervous really?
I don't think I get nervous, but I think I do get nervous nevertheless. I just don't kind of accept it.
Yeah, don't think of it as nerves, think of it as excitement maybe.
I did sports studies in university, and we had a really good mental coach.
Yeah.
So we have all these exercises that you do for focusing, like what level you should put your arousal on and how to really stay focused, what's your tasks and everything like that. So I think I perform really well under pressure.
Yeah.
It kind of like triggers me to be even more like in the bubble, in the now.
In the zone.
Yeah, in the zone, definitely.
Do you Every week then, like I obviously I see you doing some fitness training for yourself. How much mental training do you do, or is it more just a case of you learned it now and then you can put it into practice?
I think it's more of like what's it called?
Life experience maybe?
Life training, or like life, no, like more training yourself in life to train your brain and to be functioning in a good way. I think like specifically for competitions, yeah, of course, sure, it's trained and everything is fine, but I think it's be functioning mentally good at a competition. It's not only about that one weekend. It's about like building a mindset in the everyday life and in the training and in normal competitions with not that much competitors and stuff like that you should train your head to be in the right place where you want it. You should build yourself up and you should have like constructive thoughts and kind of try to recognize if you don't have it and what's causing it and how you can change it. So I would somehow it's consecutive. And you have to keep doing it, but not specifically for
Just for
one.
every day rather than just for agility kind of thing. So let's have a little look a little bit closer at your judging. What do you think is your strength as a judge or as a course designer? Is your strength as a judge your course designing, or what do you think?
I think I am hosting competitions myself also, and I think in addition to good course design, I think that's baseline. It has to be there, but there is more good judges than there is famous judges. So I think there are more things to being a good judge also. It's everything from being efficient and professional at competitions, that you have everything cleared in advance. You're being efficient. You have a plan for in and out exits. You have some idea. You have cooperated with the organizers ahead. These things, and then I think it's not bad to also be fun on the outside of the course.
Yeah, for sure. When you are designing them, have you got like a list of priorities with regards to what? So for you, for example, is there a way that you design so that you always put the tunnels in first or the contacts in first, or what's the most important thing for you when you're designing a course?
I do that in a lot of different ways. I don't want to get stuck in a pattern. So I want to show and test different skills and try to be like flexible with design. I think there has been comments on me always putting set weaves. So I have for sure noted that. I like my tunnels quite straight. I don't do anywhere close to like U tunnels,
Yeah.
so that's for sure. And I have some different like guidelines for myself for differences for grade 1 and 2 and 3 in FCI. So that would be a little different in UK, but like the lower grades and the higher grades have,
Yeah,
I
so
have some
like
different plans.
A1
So
is
I
kind of
want,
like 1 to 3, A2 is kind of like four
yeah.
to five, and then A3 is 6 to 7, I guess. That kind of thing, isn't it?
Yes. So I try to have less speeds in the lower grades, less handling, less skills, and like kind of educating and helping the young dogs to really find the lines, even though their handlers are not always super clever with helping them. I want it still to be possible for the dogs to kind of solve it.
Yeah.
And then I think for grade 3, I really like to challenge something, and I try to not challenge too much, but I want there is like different things that I like to challenge because you have the skills that are trained that you, okay, this in this course you would definitely get an advantage if you really have trained your dog and it's a skill dog.
Yeah.
And that can be everything from like a hard entry to really cool layering, to being like independent dog that you can like send it from a distance. So that's one thing. And then I like to see if I can challenge the handlers sometimes, like things that needs handler skills to be solved. That it's not only about a well-trained dog, but it's also a well-performing handler.
Yeah, but like from a personal point of view, one of the things that I liked about your courses was you always gave options. It was either, you know, there was bits where you could handle it in a few different ways. There were bits where you could choose to handle it or choose to send. And I like that. I don't like being forced to do something. I think that's,
No, no,
it's just a
me
personal thing,
neither.
obviously,
And
but
I
that's
think,
something I appreciated on your courses.
of course. No, I really like that because I think one of the things that I really, really love about agility is that everyone can do agility.
Yeah.
And you can be, we have 70, 80, 90 years old, almost walking agility, and it's super badass because they've trained their dogs on a distance. And I want them to be able to solve my courses.
Yeah.
And then I also want like the young and eager, really crazy runner that really wants to be everywhere
Yeah.
and wants to be crazy. I want something for them to challenge themselves on the same course.
Yeah, it does, like I said, from
That's the
my own
goal.
personal point of view, that was one of the things that I did like about your courses was that, yeah, way of putting it is it's suitable for everyone to any style of agility. You've always got the option to do it in that way, and I definitely appreciate that for sure.
Hi guys, Dalton and Jody here from Better Dog.
We have just launched our new product, Better Hydration, the goat's milk hydration drink for dogs.
It's packed full of natural ingredients designed to give them that extra boost, whether they are working, competing, or just simply enjoy an active lifestyle.
Head over to wearebetterdog.com to find out what it's all about and use your exclusive discount code WRONGENDOFTUNNEL for 10% off.
Because every dog deserves better.
Agility as a whole, then, it has changed. I would say it's changed quite quickly over the last 4 or 5 years, maybe. Maybe since you came into judging.
Insanely
Is it your
quickly.
fault, perhaps? Is
Yeah.
it?
I would take the blame, no problem.
Yeah. So where do you see course design going, or where do you see agility generally moving? Do you think has got a particular trend that we're going to start seeing, or let's have your views on that.
Yeah, I think we still have a little fight to do about the distances. I think this is this fight that only began. I think this we have to do like in the correct way in every country to like regulate our rules and fix it step by step so that our dogs, especially the extra large dogs, can have some steps on the ground to find their balance. And so I think this is really step one. And then it can go in many directions, but I think with the increased distances, there is a lot of cool skills that you can train your dogs. You can see really well trained. I think you can see more of the skills that we have already trained our dogs, but they are not able to show it because there is like no room to do it.
No space to do it. Kind of leads me on to the next question, but yeah. You've kind of already answered it when I was going to ask you, what rule would you change if you had the option to change any? So I'm guessing it's the distance thing.
Yeah, I think this is the most pressing one, definitely the most pressing one. Yeah.
Is there something as a judge or as a competitor that you've changed your mind on, something that you used to think and something then that made you change your mind on it, and then if so what?
Probably a whole lot of things. I changed my mind when if someone kind of like persuades me that I look up to, or they explain it like logically that it should be different than what I already think, I change my mind.
Is there anything in particular you can think of?
We did, when I grew up, we did this handling system where we only did front crosses, like, or crosses, like, on the take-up spot.
Yeah.
But that changed, of course.
Yeah.
Now we do, like, insanely much sooner. Now I will, like, almost do the front cross when the dog is, like, landing from the last jump. So this is, I think these pre-cues, they are really... really a cool thing.
I think it would be nearly impossible to run courses now like that as well, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's not possible anymore.
Yeah.
Not possible at all.
Yeah. So we talked about it again briefly at the start when we were talking about influential people. Do you know what Mount Rushmore is?
Mm-hmm. No.
Okay, so in America, Mount Rushmore is a mountain where presidents' heads are carved onto the sides, and they represent they represent the most important events in the history of the United States from the person who put them on there, I guess, his point of view. So if you're gonna have a Mount Rushmore for agility people, who is on your Mount Rushmore?
Oh, but it changes all the time.
Well,
I need
who
a big
is it
mountain.
Now then, who's on there at the moment?
Judges?
Well, you can do a mix if you want.
Let's do judges
first.
Do it's so hard.
You can
let's
mix
do
it
judges
up.
First. Yeah, I would do judges first because it's too hard with the competitors. So I would, for me, like new shining stars, Daniel and Neil. Wow, that's just, I love those guys so much. Really just, I love the course design.
Yeah.
I think the flow from Daniel and Neil, with also the combine with like the layering and the skills, and he's so clever with the lines. Just, I fucking love it. And we have this new Norwegian judges. You're really, it's Agility World. If you haven't seen them, they are just as good as me. We have Anna-Maria van den Berge, really like, lines beyond. It's just amazing. And now my dogs will bark because now there is coming a car. Prepare. we have Esther Falk Jacobsen. We have Anna-Linn Johannesson. And we have Kristel Falkner.
Okay.
So these are four. I think these are the four most active. I think, from this round of education, they're just, So I think these are the active ones from this first round. They really design so cool courses. I hope they will really travel abroad and go great.
So a couple of good judges to look out for then from Norway.
We will have another education now in, I think it will be 2025. So I will join in, and Jan Egil is there, of course, and we will bring Anne-Marie also. As I've heard, that's the one I know so far, maybe more. But I think this will just also give a lot of great new judges. So I think Norway will be like the producer of great judges for many more years.
Yeah, cool. I mean, it can only be a positive thing for agility, I think. So let's have a look at your real life. And I know, like you said at the beginning, you know, agility is part of your real life as well, isn't it? Are you full-time in agility now?
Yeah. I've been full-time agility now for, it must be two and a half years.
Okay, cool.
We have quite a crazy story, because after the judge education, I started to do more trainings just in the backyard of my house, and having seminar weekends and judging, and it just went on. And I thought, what if we do this full time?
Yeah.
And then I thought, okay, Norway is really like a shit country in the winter. You really need some place to be inside. So in my logic, you need a hall to be inside to be able to live from this the whole year. It showed up later that it's wrong. You could actually live off agility in a way without having a hall. But luckily, I didn't know, so we did that. So we both quit our day jobs. We had full-time jobs. We had a house. So we sold the house, quit our jobs, and then we moved across to the other side of the country to somebody would say in the middle of nowhere. It's 2 hours outside of Oslo, and like along the coastline. And we found a really nice farm. We found a region that was really hungry for new business and growth, and they were really eager to have us here. And so we started the project with building the hall. And I think we had lived here in the house for half a year when we had the hall up and running, and we had our first competition in January. It will be, you know, this year will be the third year.
So a big risk, but a big reward as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So now we live, both me and Hege, my wife, we live full-time from agility. So we have seminars in the hall, there is competitions in the hall, and I, of course, travel to do seminars and judging. And we have some equipment and shop in the store, and we will do a lot more. We have summer camps, we will make more online content. Yeah, so this is just like the beginning of really crazy agility adventure.
Well, congratulations, firstly, because as you say, as you know, it's a big commitment to make, a big risk as well, but obviously it's paid off and you're happy with that.
Thank you.
That's really good. Congratulations on that.
Yeah.
We'll look at more real life now then. What I'm guessing this will be the same kind of answer maybe, but what are you most proud of?
In life?
Yeah.
Or in agility?
Well, either. Agility is a big part of it, so it can be either.
Yeah. I think the life that we've made together, I think this is, really.
Yeah, definitely is. I mean, after you said it, I thought to myself, well, that is definitely something to be proud of. So I would assume that is that, because like you said, I mean, we've talked about it. That's a massive change, isn't it? To uproot your life, travel across the country to do something that's got no guarantees for you. But it's definitely paid off, isn't it?
Yeah, it has. Now we have a hall, so that's cool.
Do you have any hobbies outside of agility?
I did a little bit of herding with my dog when we just before we moved. I had an opportunity to herd with my bitch, Kos. So that was quite cool, but there is really no time for this now. And I like to run in the forest with my other border collie. So that there is time for. I can go for a hike and
go for a run. Well, and at the same time.
Yeah. And I also, actually, I love gardening.
Okay, that's cool. You don't get to do much of that in the winter, though, I would suppose.
No. So we have like our own, we have chickens, and then we have like a vegetable garden that we
Oh,
grow a
awesome.
lot of what we eat. Yeah. So I think that's quite cool. But it's really like really low maintenance because sometimes I'm away for like 2 months. So it has to be like, okay, I will put some seeds. I will see what happens, and if I come back and there is food, I'm happy.
Yeah. I mean, I planned on doing the same thing myself and I never got around to it, but maybe you've inspired me. If there's stuff that I can leave for 2 months, it'll just grow on its own. Maybe I can do that. I can manage that. Are you vegetarian or? Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, even more worthwhile then to grow your own veggies. What then do you think? Outside of agility, I mean, it can be inside, I suppose, because, like I said, a lot of what we do relates to both. What annoys you the most? What makes you angry when you see it?
People that get annoyed with their dogs. It's just like, or like sh just shit in general that kind of goes out on the dog, that's happening to the dogs. So everything from like shitty course design that's making it shit for the dogs to run, or handlers being unfair to their dogs, poorly trained dogs, too fat dogs, injured dogs. I think like inequality, it's like towards the dogs, I really, it just ruins the weekend.
Yeah, and I can imagine that you see, I don't want to say you see a lot of it, but you probably see it as a judge. There are some people who get frustrated with their dog when it's not their dog's fault kind of thing, isn't it?
It happens, and you have to really like make your lines to what you want to. When you want to like let people know that this is not okay, and what you just have to kind of live with, because like some easy things like people, all, most dogs that are in agility, they know sit, but still some people on the start line, they like push the ass down on the start line, so it's not kind of, it's not mean, but it's not nice,
No, there's no
and this is
need.
the kind of things you just have to. No, there's no need because the dog knows it already, so it's like just don't do it. Just teach them to sit. You can do it. Come on. But you just have to live with it. It's like you can't go on and be an instructor while you are judging. That's not possible.
I think it's about working out what is okay with you and what kind of crosses that line between being not okay anymore, isn't it?
Really, really is.
What would you say is the one bit of advice that you could give people in agility? Unless you're talking about beginners, you're talking about anyone, just something that you see that people you wish people knew. What would that advice be? What would you tell them?
I think the biggest thing I learned from the judge education was to focus more on the line and less on the skills.
I wish a lot of judges did that more.
No, but also as a competitor, when you're
No, for
running,
sure.
if
Rather than
you
worrying about
see,
how you're going to handle it, just worry about what's the fastest for your dog first kind of thing.
And if you really look for the line on the course walk, do around and look, where is the line of the dog? What does the dog see? Where is it landing? What's the dog perspective when it's landing? How is the so that you can kind of support this flowy line instead of going in and kind of stop doing like stop and start sending kind of agility. I think that would help a lot of people.
No, that's a good one for sure. Okay, we're going to move into the quick fire round now. So these questions, they don't require much
Ooh.
thought. Hopefully it'll be nice and quick for you. What did you have for breakfast?
See. Coffee.
Coffee, same. What was your most used emoji?
It's probably the heart.
The heart. Ah, oh, so you're too kind. Most people got like the finger up or something like that. When did you last
Cool.
sing and what song was it?
I love this. We in Norway we have this song where we mock Sweden. And this song is just really mean to the Swedes. I love it. So I think that's my flaw. Probably.
Oh, yeah,
that.
I found this out the other day when I was interviewing someone else. I can't remember who it was, but there's a bit of a grudge between Norway and Sweden, and the Norwegians think they're better than Sweden, don't they?
Yeah. It's like our little brother.
Brilliant. do you play any musical instruments?
No, I'm so fucking tone deaf. You would not even. I have learned to play drums and guitar, but it's really, you don't want to hear it.
Okay, that's cool though. Good that you've got some kind of musical background behind you. Do you believe in ghosts?
No.
No. Do you have any tattoos?
No.
No. Do you plan on having any tattoos?
Yes.
Ooh. So in the near future or not sure yet?
Let's see. I will let it happen when it happens.
Okay. What superpower would you have if you could have any?
Oh, it would be super cool to be able to fly everywhere super fast.
Yeah, save you in airports.
The easy one.
Save you traveling through airports then as well.
Yeah. No airports, just getting to competitions, like boom.
Yeah, good idea. Okay, so I always end the podcast with the same question. I've just asked you what superpower you would have. So in this scenario, my superpower is I allow people to talk to their animals. So if I gave you 10 seconds to speak to your dogs, what do you think you'd be telling them?
Oh, I think they already know. They're the best ones. I love them.
Yeah. Anything else? Or is it just to let them know a little bit more definitively?
No, I think they're good. They live at the farm. They are happy.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I can imagine if they live. Yeah, definitely. Okay, well, firstly, thank you so much again for coming on. Like I said to you at the start, I mean, I know how busy you are, so to give us some time, I really, really appreciate it. Before we go, is there anything that you want to make people aware of? Do you want to let people know your social media so they can follow you for anything or anything like that?
Sure, they can follow us on Instagram on Go Agility and also on Facebook. And we have a really cool competition coming up in the summer, Rainbow Rush. So if they want to come and see our place and the farm and the hall and everything, we have from, is it 5th to 7th of July, we have Petra Pupik, Daniel Valls, me, and Kristel Faltner, and we have really cool seminars before with Danny Fischbach and Petter.
Oh, that's really cool.
Really cool.
That's called Rainbow Rush, is it?
Yes.
Okay, very, very good. Anything else that they should be aware of, or is it just follow you on Instagram for any important announcements?
Yeah, sure. We will bring them a lot of content in the future. For the spring, I have made time in my calendar, so I will get a puppy. We will start to really make a lot more content for online content. So
perfect. And so that people will be able to hear about that if they follow you on the social medias then, yeah?
Yes, absolutely.
Perfect. Okay, well, again, thank you so much. Do you want to say goodbye to everyone?
Yes, goodbye. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, everyone. Speak to you soon. And that is the end of the podcast. Thank you for taking some time out of your day to listen. I really hope you enjoyed. If you think you might know someone else who would enjoy, feel free to pass on all the information and share the podcast with them. And get involved on any of the social media platforms. It really helps the podcast grow, and I really appreciate it. See you in the next one.